You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Today's episode, Liz and I are joined by Mark and Jill Savage, a couple who have worked through some very difficult challenges, including infidelity. Together, they share why they decided to make things work and open up about how they've been able to make things better. Whether you've experienced infidelity or you're going through some rough patches, I think you'll benefit from the many insights from our discussion. Jill and Mark Savage have been married for 38 years. In 2011, Mark was in a dark place emotionally, spiritually, and relationally, experiencing a full-on midlife crisis, including an affair. He eventually left Jill and the kids for several months. However, in April of 2012, Mark left the other relationship, recommitted to his marriage and family, and eventually came home. They say it took 2 years to heal their marriage. Today, Mark and Jill are passionate about encouraging, educating, and equipping families and marriages. After serving in church ministry for 20 years, the Savages are now meeting the needs of families as authors, speakers, and coaches. Jill is the host of the No More Perfect podcast and the author of 14 books, including the best-selling No More Perfect Moms. Together, Mark and Jill have created 5 online marriage courses and authored several books, including No More Perfect Marriages, I Really Messed Up, and My Heart is Broken. The parents of 5 adult children and grandparents of 6, the Savages make their home in Normal, Illinois. You can find them online at markandjill.org. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to Stronger Marriage Connection. We've got the psychologist and the professor. I'm Dr. Liz Hale, along with Dr. Dave Schramm. And together, we have dedicated our life's work to bringing you the best we have in valid marital research, along with a few tips and tools to help you create the marriage of your dreams. You know, when a long-term marriage has gone off the rails, and some of us have been there, or we have loved ones who have, the end can look so near and so bleak. But even when all hope seems lost, there is one wise, loving couple who knows what you're going through, and they can instruct you on how to rebuild that bridge that will bring you back together again, only more new and improved. I'm going to just do that last part again. I'm sorry. They'll help you rebuild that bridge to bring you back together again, new and improved. And that is exactly what our guests Mark and Jill Savage did. It's with great pleasure that we introduce you to them. Welcome to Stronger Marriage Connection, Mark and Jill 2.0, I might add.
Yes.
That's right. It's good to be with you.
Yeah.
Such a pleasure. You cleverly like to say you've been married for 40 years, which hats off to you. Mm-hmm. 30 of them happily. So let's start by sharing some of the best things that happened in your good 30 years. Tell us a little bit about you. What's been great?
I would say, you know, just to start with family. We have 5 incredible kids and they're all now adults and living their own lives. 4 are biological, 1 adopted. We adopted our son from Russia. We've been on some incredible journeys in life, had opportunities to travel because we've been in full-time ministry. We've had opportunities to minister literally all over the world. And I would say those have been some of the best things.
Yes. Those are the highlights.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Those
Mark.
Are.
What else, Mark? Yeah.
Lots of experiences with even stateside travel, but we have enjoyed international travel as well. And we really have friendships all over the world, which is even more fun with technology.
Mm-hmm. And now that we're marriage coaches, we literally have, we have coaching clients who become friends because you walk through, particularly for us, mm-hmm. we walk through some difficult seasons with many of our coaching clients, and then they become friends. And mm-hmm. we're so grateful for that as well.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you became marriage coaches. Who better to help someone else go through that really dark season of time, Mark and Jill? Okay, and then we have the 10 that were just difficult, right? Not necessarily 10 years in a row, but the tough experiences that you faced and conquered together during the dark decade. Please instruct us on some of those.
Yeah, and it wasn't a decade in general. It was hard months, hard days.
Hard years
occasionally.
Here, and they were kind of peppered throughout the 30. And I think what kept dogging me was our differences. It's like I could not figure out how to really be one and to learn how to cooperate with those differences.
Yeah. And I would say that the other thing that really contributed to those dark seasons was the phrase that you often will use, Mark, is I couldn't
Wait,
be free of
I
me.
Would often use.
The phrase that you would often use.
Yeah. Okay. Not like I'm not saying that anymore.
Right. Okay. I'm with you.
Yeah.
That you couldn't be free of me, not me, but you. You couldn't be free of you. You had a lot of shame and a lot of personal struggles from your upbringing.
Yes.
And those seemed to raise their head a lot over those difficult years too.
In fact, I had been in and out of counseling and I was learning behavioral change, but I wasn't discovering a heart change or a thinking change, really, until I blew our family up.
Yeah. And that was the darkest year.
Right.
So the last year of darkness I would say it was 2 years between 2010 and 2012.
Mm-hmm.
2010 to 2011. Was just difficult. Mark had left the career he had been in for 20 years and felt like he needed a change.
Mm-hmm.
And what that did, though, is it threw him into what we now know as a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Like, who am I? What am I doing? This is not what I thought my life would look like when I was 50 years old.
Yeah.
The whole shebang.
I really thought the whole idea of a midlife crisis was just a silly misnomer until I was in one. And then it was like, yeah,
this is real. It felt like
this is real. And I haven't made it up. And I was terribly discouraged and disappointed. And I found myself spiraling to the point that I hated and was angry at everything and everyone. And I ended up having an affair. I actually left Jill and my family to pursue this other relationship.
Yeah. And that was the darkest year.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. He didn't leave immediately after I discovered the infidelity. Initially, he actually recommitted to our family, but then he would go back to the other relationship and then he would recommit. It was this back and forth. And then finally, he did leave.
Right. I did that 6 different times and then finally did leave.
Yeah. And that was so difficult for me, though. I sensed that that this was less about our marriage and far more about his lostness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Not that I didn't believe that we had dynamics playing out in our marriage that needed a change. I was starting to understand that, but I also believed that this was bigger than marriage. He was personally struggling. And honestly, I'd seen him personally struggle. I mean, at that point in time, we'd been married 28 years. So I'd seen him personally struggle for many of those 28 years. But this was just a deeper, darker version of that same struggle I felt like I had seen. So I, you know, for me, it wasn't a deal breaker. I mean, I was heartbroken, wasn't a deal breaker. Faith is super important to me. And so, you know, obviously my first step was I prayed and I was like, God, I don't even know what to do. I don't have any clue what to do here. And I heard only one thing, and it wasn't like some big voice from heaven. I knew it was not my idea because I didn't feel it. I heard, I want you to love him.
Wow.
And I thought, you gotta be kidding me, right? You're like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
And that's why I knew it wasn't from me, because I wasn't feeling that at all. I wasn't feeling love in any way. I was angry and I was hurt and I wanted to lash back out and all of that. And so, yeah, that began what I now refer to as my year that I stood for our marriage. And that was hard. And honestly, I got to a place where I was like, whether my marriage makes it or doesn't make it, I have some growth and I need to pursue that growth. And that's what I used that year for.
Man, had you not stood for your marriage, where would you be today?
Probably not together. Incredible.
We would not be, you know, yesterday was my 60th birthday celebration. And
happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. And we had our family over, all but two of our kids. Two of our kids don't live locally. So the three that live locally, their families, their our grandchildren. I mean, that wouldn't have happened yesterday.
No.
You know, and we wouldn't be doing our life's work now, which is helping other couples find a 2.0 marriage. And so, yeah, I'm so grateful. But we can say that if I hadn't stood for it, but also if he hadn't made his U-turn, and if he hadn't softened his heart, I mean, both of us made some important right steps that eventually turned things around.
I think that the big right step I made was surrender. I surrendered my plans, my ideas, my goals. My turmoil, just the whole list, I surrendered and really yielded in my own faith to my Lord to help me clean up the mess. When I left Jill, I had convinced myself that my kids would agree, you know, mom's a hard woman, dad, I don't know how you put up with it this long. And they did not respond that way. In fact, I was saying things that people have said for years, and which was so abnormal to me, like, I'll be happier. I'm just choosing my own path. This marriage is too hard. We were never right from the beginning. You know, I just had a litany of things that weren't true. And so when I surrendered to the idea that my path was best, because I was seeing that my path was not working out.
So you surrendered that thought. It was like you let go of that thought.
I did. And I also was realizing how much of a mess I had made. In fact, that ultimately was why I was pursuing divorce, is I've made such a big mess. I might as well live in ruin. And so I'm going to divorce. And I am so thankful that the Lord helped me reframe that into a positive action by surrendering and pursuing Jill with everything I have, which was incredibly scary. I had no idea what to do, but I knew it was the right thing to do. And the right path isn't always the easy path, but it was the right path.
It's incredible. Go ahead, please. Yeah.
Well, you have to choose your hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, we work with people all the time that are like, you know, they're sure that divorce is going to be the answer, but you're going to still deal with that person for the rest of your life, especially if you have children together. And so that's a hard, or mm-hmm. you can do a hard for a short season of healing and rebuilding trust, and then get to a new place in your relationship, a 2.0 relationship. And that also is hard, but it has some incredible benefits mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah.
Wow. This is, your story is inspiring. I mean, to say the least, and that humility, Mark, that you talk about, you know, of surrendering. I think that, you know, so many couples, when they're experiencing this is excruciating pain, like infidelity, understandably, they just want to race to the end of the pain, right? Hey, let's just get through this. Hey, let's just, can we just start over again? But you warn against this mad rash, rush, this dash to the other side. Why is that?
Well, I think from our own life, I began to see that mad dash was going to be a crisis dash. It's like I had already blown everything up. And now, in essence, I dropped a bomb in my family, and a divorce would be like a nuclear bomb. And then also from experience on the other side, we have so many people that we've worked with that haven't pursued divorce, but we do have a handful of those who have. And just watching that implosion is so difficult.
Well, and Dave, what I would also add, because you're talking also about not making them, like, you can't just, when you've experienced a huge rupture in a relationship, like what infidelity does, or broken trust, mm-hmm. what's to happen is the one who betrayed wants to say, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. Let's move forward. Mm. And that's that mad dash to, okay, let's just move through this quickly so that we can get to the other side of it. That doesn't rebuild trust. And we liken rebuilding trust to a bathtub filled with water. And when you get married, that bathtub is full of water. But when you know, life, I mean, marriage, there's all kinds of little things that happen that cause some of the water to like splash out mm-hmm. here and there. But when something like broken trust happens, mm-hmm. whether it's because of deception, it could be financial broken trust. It could be, putting the kids before your spouse. That's broken trust. Or it can be something like infidelity, mm-hmm. like we discover, or like we dealt with. That's like pulling the plug out of the bathtub, and mm-hmm. the water, it empties out. Now we have an empty bathtub. And what often happens, that rush to the other side, is that the one person wants to, the person that broke the trust wants to just say, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again. Like they can turn on the faucet and just fill the tub back up with water with that. But that's not the way it works. You actually have to rebuild trust 1/4 cup at a time mm-hmm. in that bathtub. And that is just one humble action after another, one different way of responding, one safe conversation after another safe conversation, one being open with all of your technology, hiding mm-hmm. nothing. Mm-hmm. All of that begins every time those little things happen. And that's what happened when we were rebuilding trust. If I would struggle and I would mention it to Mark, he would respond not angrily, like, when is this going to stop? He would say, I'm so sorry that you even have to ask that question. Mm-hmm. And then that would be 1/4 cup in my bathtub. Right. that's why we don't rush. You can't rush. You can't just turn on the faucet.
No.
You have to rebuild the trust one quarter cup at a time.
I think during that process, I didn't ever feel like it was slow, or I didn't feel or question like, when is this going to be over? I just knew instinctively that this is going to take a while, and I just want to keep growing as we're going. And I looked for hope signs along the way. And I would see those in Jill. I would see those in my children. I would see them along the way. And that became like my fuel that kept me going on the right path. The one thing I was convinced of was that I had allowed myself to live in ruin the first half of our marriage. And I didn't want to think that way anymore. I didn't want to reproduce those actions anymore. I was committed to being a totally different guy. And I think the guy that I was committed to was the real Mark, not this facade of a man who worked to please, to satisfy, who flowed in the river of public opinion. I was like, I'm done with that. So anything that looked like that, I stayed clear of.
We'll be right back after this brief message.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
And we're back. Well, let's dive right in.
So living in ruin, what did that look like regarding you and Jill? You saw the more negative things about your differences. Is that also what you're referring to, Mark? Tell us more.
Well, this is embarrassing. This is Mark 1.0, not Mark 2.0. But I kept a running list of all. I wish I could say our faults, but it was her faults. And I knew that keeping a list was not a good thing, but so I just ruminated on the negativity, and I would show up and smile, but on the inside, there was just that toxic ruin that was influencing my actions, my quest, trying to find resolve, and I just struggled. I struggled even finding that resolve in my faith. It just seemed like I couldn't get away from me. It was like I just was dogging that ruinous man.
Yeah, wherever I go, there I am, right? I mean, it is.
Yeah.
Get away
well,
from
and
me.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it, Liz, because... And that's the thing, you know, when we work with couples and we're, you know, working with somebody that maybe is so convinced, male or female, that, okay, this other relationship is going to, well, and in fact, this is what happened in ours. Mark was in the affair for a year, long enough for the other relationship to start going south.
Yeah. And it started to, it was packaged different, but I started to have the same turmoil in that other relationship, and that did begin to open my eyes. So I was seeing that my kids weren't going with my plans. Life wasn't rolling out as I planned. Things were getting harder, and that relationship started to derail. And I had the realization that, there is a common denominator here, and that's me. We need to do something about this, Mark.
Well, and what you're just saying though is we think that maybe another relationship is the answer, but we take us with us.
Yeah.
And eventually, so the answer is actually start looking at the things you need to look at in the current relationship that you're in. And of course, we're not talking about relationships where there's abuse, where, you know, we're not talking about those kind of relationships, but we are talking about where there's dysfunction, where there's struggle. It's like, that is what, you know, the answer is not leaving the relationship, because you're just going to, unless you want to go be a monk somewhere or a nun and not enter another relationship, because you're just going to take your own dysfunction with you and eventually blow somebody else's life up.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do that. So the more beautiful thing is, use this hard season of life that you're in as an invitation for growth, personal growth and couple growth. That's the beautiful part of the hard seasons.
Yeah. I think part of the struggle for myself too was as I kept trying to find a way of healing my past and healing me, I felt like I was running into more options of behavioral change. So, Mark, if you do this, it'll get better. If you do that. And I had exhausted myself with all these behavioral changes and modifications that didn't work. And that, and ultimately, I just threw it all away and said, I'm going to make my own path. And then when I blew that up, we were made aware of a whole different process of reframing our thinking, of looking at really what were the drivers that led to the emotions and the beliefs that produced the actions. And for the first time, I was gaining traction on how much I had consumed myself with negativity and consumed myself with unhealthy thinking. And I began to really choose to rebuild that, to almost throw out the bad stuff and start choosing new things, new ways of thinking. And I had a list of things that I kept on my phone, and every day I would say these truths out loud. And because I really believe that when you speak it and hear it, it enters your heart and it gains ground. And I did that for about a year, nonstop. And if I would have a harder time during the day, I would get out my phone and start preaching to me. So,
yeah. And so what happened is, because you changed your thinking, that eventually, so what we have come to understand is, our thinking determines our feelings. Our feelings then inform our beliefs. Our beliefs then inform our actions. And our actions then determine the results that we get. And so when you just change your actions, it's going to be short-lived if you don't change your thinking, because it's all informed by your thinking. And so you had to start thinking of our differences differently. You had to start thinking about me differently. You started thinking about your value differently. Like all of that was huge for me. I had to also start thinking about, for me, I didn't deal with as much negativity in my thoughts as he did, but I dealt with things that I was thinking of incorrectly. For instance, I was avoidant in the relationship. And so what that means is I avoided, emotional connection. I avoided emotion. I was raised in a loving home and a loving family, but we were the buck up family. And so if life gets hard, you just buck up. Well, then that made me a buck up mom and a buck up wife. And I'm married to a man with a tender heart. Mm-hmm. So I don't have empathy. I'm not validating. I'm not sensitive. I'm just telling him to buck up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not healthy. So
I didn't buck up. I bucked out.
That's true. That's very true.
Yeah. By my own choice, though. Not your fault, but by my choice.
But I had to start thinking about that avoidant, the avoidance differently. I had to start realizing that emotion, I had shut down emotion in my life and I needed to reopen it. So we both had places. Mm-hmm. We had to start thinking differently.
Yeah.
And that takes such courage when you're caught between these two worlds.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. What's your best advice, Mark, for someone who's caught between a lovely wife and a different life, for instance? What's your best piece of advice?
My advice would be stop pursuing the new shiny path, because that's going to dull pretty quickly. So stop pursuing the shiny path and humble yourself and really look at what you're thinking, because that's your driver, and work to reframe that driver into a doable course rather than the toxic course.
I would say, and I would add, get help. Oftentimes you need help to do that.
Right.
Especially when you're stuck in it. It's hard to see.
You can't see clearly, right? I cannot see clearly.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So powerful. I mean, let me go back to something you guys have talked about. And that's the way of thinking. I've done research in this. And so this is just totally resonates with me. We call it this getting our hearts right. Getting our hearts right, because these outward actions, it's like the shiny on the car, right? Where the engine, the real power is underneath what we can't see. So it's part of, because you'll always find what you're looking for, right, Mark? If you're irritated, right, you're going to see the negative just to back up your thoughts of be like, oh, yeah, see, she really is, critical of me. She doesn't have compassion. And so it's this internal change is what I'm hearing from you both. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're exactly right.
Yeah.
But what you're talking about is we all have confirmational bias, right? And so we can find confirmation for what we believe. And so what we often have to do is we like to frame it as unhelpful thinking or helpful thinking. So something may be true. Like maybe my spouse doesn't have a lot of compassion. Look, my spouse doesn't have a lot of compassion. Okay. And that may be a true thought, but I don't know that it's a helpful thought for you to think about, to believe the best in your spouse. Mm-hmm. So what does your spouse bring to the marriage in a beautiful way? So maybe, you know what? My spouse is a good provider. They are they're a good mom or dad. And so what we begin to do is what Mark and I call flip the script. So we flip the script from an unhelpful, and maybe it is a true thought, but it's not going to be helpful for me staying engaged in the relationship. And it may even be something I want to address in our marriage at some point, or I hope to, like, maybe we could get some help on. But if I keep my head there, if I keep my thoughts there, it's not going to be helpful to me. Mm-hmm. So I have to flip my thoughts. I have to literally push my thinking in a different direction. And I have to think about something that is more helpful to believing the best in my spouse, more helpful to bringing life to my heart as it relates to the relationship. So then I start thinking about maybe things that I don't regularly think about because I take them for granted. Because I don't, you know, it is, it's like we can put magnifying glasses on what they don't do and we miss what they do do.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pushing our thinking towards what they do do, and that begins to then change how you feel and how, what you believe. And it ultimately changes, like Mark was saying, he literally had a list. He had written them down and he had a list of all the things that were wrong with me. And so that's what he looked at. That's what he focused on. So that kept it in an unhelpful place. And when he made his U-turn and recommitted to our marriage and we began to heal, that list was discarded and he made a new list of all of the good things about what I brought to our relationship. And that's where he began to put his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And what a difference that makes.
Yeah. In fact, in our book, I am a words guy. I really do best to write things down and see them. But I made a chart and it was three columns. What I don't like about Jill was column number one. Why I don't like it was column number two. And then column three was how it helped me. And an example would be that Jill is very organized, very planned out. I can be very spontaneous. And so I didn't like that. And I didn't like that because I felt managed and even parented or controlled. But how it helped me was that having a plan meant that if we made a trip to another state, we actually had a place to stay versus sleeping in the car because I didn't plan. And so I did have to flip those negative thoughts. And I did that very intentionally because I wanted to crucify the negative and really celebrate the positive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason our book is named No More Perfect Marriages, as you can see.
Yeah.
yeah. But it is filled with all kinds of practical things, like what Mark was just talking about, you know, of ways to do, to start thinking differently.
Yeah.
Man. You know, you talk about expectations. Can I talk a little bit about expectations for a minute? You believe that they can be a good thing if we learn to identify them, right? Communicate about them and then use them to strengthen and improve our relationship. Along these lines, what is the perfection inflection that you warn couples about?
Yeah, the perfection infection. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, yeah. So the perfection infection is when we have unrealistic expectations of marriage, or we have unrealistic expectations of our spouse, or we unfairly compare our marriage, or we unfairly compare our spouse to others. Mm. What happens then is we sit in this continual place of discontentment. When the perfection infection is in our marriage, we sit in this perpetual place of discontentment. And mm-hmm. when you sit in discontentment day in, day out, it becomes discouragement, and then it becomes disillusionment, and then it becomes disconnection. Mm-hmm. And so what we want to do is we want to recognize, where does the perfection infection come from? Well, the movies we watch, mm-hmm. the romance novels we read, even our own parents' marriage. Like, for instance, I never saw my mom and dad argue or disagree, ever. I don't know if they did, they didn't. I don't know. My mom was a big pleaser. So, you know, was she just always in that pleasing mode? I don't know. But I had an expectation that we would have no conflict mm-hmm. because I never saw that. Well, that was an unrealistic expectation that came from the home that I grew up in. So we all deal with the perfection infection because it is how we view the world and compare ourselves to the world mm-hmm. and it feeds our discontentment. And so we got to kick that out mm-hmm. and say, no, that is unhealthy. And we need to have realistic expectations. And when we have realistic expectations, then those either come from a place of acceptance, like we are accepting Like, I have to accept that Mark doesn't think the way I think, that he does things differently than mm-hmm. I do. And I have to accept those and not label those as wrong.
Right. And the same for me.
And for a long time I did. I labeled those as wrong. And that was unhealthy. So we either need to come from a place of acceptance or we need to come from a place of request. So we use those expectations to also make requests. But oftentimes what happens is people, instead of making requests, they complain, they criticize, they comment, but they don't come right out and make a clear request. Mm. And so expectations can be helpful if they can fuel our requests. But if they are unrealistic expectations, because they are fueled by the perfection infection, then it's just going to fuel discontentment.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
I have to admit that I haven't always liked my husband's requests. He's very particular. And I've had to really learn to flip that script myself, Mark, Jill, and Dave.
Right.
And just, I'm just so glad he's telling me that he likes the knives in the drawer a certain way, right? Or whatever it might
yes.
be, how I park the car in the
right.
garage. I mean, I am really grateful. It goes back to some of the intimacy you were talking about, even Jill, of we don't really open up to those things, right? We're just kind of strong women mm-hmm. and we just do things that we do. And there's not maybe that emotional intimacy always.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Really yeah. open up to that. Mm-hmm. Those requests, requests can be a direction of emotional intimacy.
They can.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that... What I've learned is the power of those requests. It really communicates to Jill what I'm thinking versus, in a way, I was wanting her to read my mind or just naturally do things the way I wanted or liked. And then I'd be ticked if she didn't. And then, so part of the change for me was I needed to find courage to voice my thoughts and voice my opinions and not be intimidated by that process.
And the key there is in an assertive way, but not an aggressive way.
Right.
Assertive is good. Aggressive is not.
Right. Because aggressive is going to lead to hostility
mm-hmm.
and bitterness and...
Yeah. The opposite of intimacy, right?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after this brief message.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise. Having fun in the sun or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
And we're back. Well, let's dive right in.
As part of our interview, Mark and Jill, we like to ask each of our guests one particular question. So, Jill, I'll start with you if that's all right. What do you believe is the key to a stronger marriage connection?
I believe that probably doing your own work is the key to a stronger marriage connection. And that really is opposite of what many of us think, because it's like, you know, well, we need to do couples counseling, or we need to do couples work. And a lot of times we need to do individual work. We mm-hmm. need to figure out what are we bringing to this relationship that's not helpful and it's not healthy. And then do our own work to change that. So I really believe that doing the personal work, you know, because really for there to be a Mark and Jill 2.0, there had to become a Jill 2.0 and a Mark 2.0. And so, I had to do my own work. He had to do his own work. So I really believe that that's an important part of the journey.
I commend you both, because I believe for 18 months you did some type of therapy, right? You would go a week, Jill, and you would go a Mark, and then you go together for 18 months, an hour away. I think your therapist was a long ways away. I just commend you.
Right.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really important to us. And sometimes those hour drives there and back were really long hours, because, you know, it was a rough counseling session. And then sometimes they were great. And we just kept talking about whatever we were talking about in therapy. So, you know, it was, but it was important.
Yeah.
At that point we had a mindset of, we will get to the other side of this. Mm-hmm. We are going to make it.
Yeah,
this is part of what we have to do to get there.
And we would work hard in between sessions. We didn't just rely upon that 1 hour to be the fix. We knew that we needed to work hard and then virtually bring our best selves to that appointment to really hammer out what was in the way. And it was good.
You are impressive role models of that. So, Mark, same question. What do you believe, my friend, is the key to a stronger marriage connection?
I think partnering with what Jill said, the hard work, the work towards the goal of a 2.0 self and a 2.0 relationship is key, and the sacrifice of the selfish 1.0. Just to kick the selfish self out of the way, because they're the 1.0 relationship, and to really work to become the unselfish 2.0.
Mm. Oh, I love that. And you here on the podcast, we've talked about how a healthy and happy we starts with a healthy and happy me, right? Getting ourselves, making sure that we're in a good place ourselves. I love that. So we can work on that 2.0. Oh, now, Mark and Jill, you give all kinds of great information. Much of it is free. You're so generous. Tell us a little bit about the resources that you offer.
Yeah. Well, we offer three online courses. One is our general No More Perfect Marriages course. And that is, you know, just, it's for healthy marriages that want to become good marriages that want to become great. Also for hurting marriages that want, help. We, offer an online course called the Rebuilding Trust course. And that's for when two parties, both are ready to rebuild trust and they want to get after that. And, then we also offer a course called The Weight Is Not Wasted. And that is when somebody, is in a season like I was in, where I was standing for my marriage, believing for my marriage, but their spouse is checked out. So how can you use that waiting season for a, you know, really important, time of growth in your life? So we have our online courses. We have a free rebuilding trust guide. That is at rebuildingtrust.us. You can request that for free. We have lots of free resources on our website. So if you just go to markandjill.org and you click on marriage, you'll see all kinds of marriage scenarios. And then we've curated it into, you know, where all of our podcast episodes, all of our blog posts on that topic are all curated together. So our website is a resource, markandjill.org. And then, of course, we offer our coaching. And then we have what we call our Marriage 2.0 intensives. And an intensive is where we work only with one couple at a time in our intensives. Mm-hmm. So a couple comes, they stay with us from Friday to Sunday. We work 3 days solid, sometimes 4 and 5 days. We have 3, 4, and 5 day intensives. But we work on their stuff, where they're getting stuck. What's their history? What are the messages that are going on in their head that are not helpful? And we love it. That's probably our favorite thing that we do is we love that because we like to really see, have a front row seat at that healing, watching the healing begin to.
So great. There's nothing more gratifying. I can only imagine.
Right? Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. Just one last question, if you don't mind. How long were you willing to wait, Jill? That was an important aspect of the healing. You put faith over fear. Do you know how long you were willing to give it? Did it matter? I'm just curious.
You know, that's a good question. I did not have a time frame on it. You know, I felt like a year is where I was going to reevaluate. Like I felt like when I originally had the sense of, I want you to love him. And it was like, okay, I'm going to be about my own growth. I'm going to do my best to love. I don't know how to do that. Like, honestly, mm-hmm. that was a faith journey for me because I was like, you know, I know how to love somebody who's loving me back. I don't know how to love somebody who's not loving me back. Mm-hmm. So what I realized is my love had to grow up. Like it really had to mature. Yeah, I think I, in my mind, I was like, I'll reevaluate at a year and see what God, you know, what God says to me at that point. Thankfully, I didn't, I mean, we were right at, we were just short of a year when Mark made his U-turn and surrendered. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to face that. But when I work with people, that are waiting, you know, a lot of times that is one of their questions. And I'll say, what in your gut do you feel mm-hmm. like you need to commit to right now? And a lot of times they'll say, you know, a year, it just seems like it's kind of a, and you know, what's interesting, Liz, I, in the midst of all of this, I went to a lawyer, only because I wanted to protect myself and my kids. Mark mm-hmm. was being pretty irresponsible with money. I was afraid he was going to file and I wouldn't be prepared. And I went to this lawyer and she said to me, so Jill, you don't want this divorce if there is a divorce. And I said, no, I don't. And she said, well, my suggestion is to you is to simply wait because I see more of these turn around than not. Now, this was a person that wasn't of faith. They were just literally from a legal perspective. But she said, I see. And she said the year date. She said, if I were you and he doesn't make a legal move, then I would just wait it out because I think that there's a really good possibility that it could turn around. And she was right. And we see that as well in those that we work
with. I do too.
Yeah.
But how hopeful for an attorney to say that, you know, bless.
I know.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
I know.
That's just really lovely.
I thought so too. Yeah. I was surprised at that, but it, mm-hmm. it certainly confirmed where I was as well. So.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful. Well, and I guess I want to emphasize right now to our listeners, you know, each situation is so different, right? There's not a prescription. We've talked about Mark and Jill have done an amazing job talking about principles and not a prescription for what, you know, you need to do, or you need to do this because each situation, you know, you're receiving the answers, the direction, the, how much the patience, because there are situations of, you know, we talked about earlier of abuse or, you know, emotional abuse and neglect and painful things that people are going through. And so each journey is different and it's your journey as they're going through this, but you've given so much great information, principles, guidance, help, strength, direction, all that you guys have been so generous with your time today. Let me ask you, with all the stuff that we've been talking about, we like to give our our guests an opportunity to talk about their takeaway of the day. If there's one message that you each want to share with our listeners, what would that be? Let me start with you, Mark. What's your takeaway of the day?
I would say the takeaway is to more of a faith response is to humble yourself, grab hold of the hand of Daddy God and let him lead you through the mess. And I think of my own kids when I would take hold of their hand and kind of lead them through the chaos or whatever was happening in their little lives. Let the big guy lead you out. He will.
Yeah, powerful. Thank you. Jill, what about you? What's your takeaway of the day?
There is hope and redemption available. Whether a marriage makes it or not, there's hope and redemption available. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's, you know, that's kind of where I sat, you know, whether my marriage makes it or not, I have some growth to do. And that was one part of redeeming or exchanging this really painful time in my life for purpose. So there can be purpose in the pain, and that's part of the hope, and that's part of the redemption. And so that's what I would say is a big takeaway.
Yeah.
Love that message of hope. Thanks, Jill. Liz, what about you? What's your takeaway from our discussion with Mark and Jill today?
So many, right, Dave? I mean, I'm always such a big proponent of our thinking, right? I'm talking about that every single day in my private practice. I love that Mark and Jill both said to flip the script, to crucify the negative and celebrate the positive, because whatever I do focus on grows, and I'll find the evidence of whatever I believe. I'll find it. There it is again. If I really focus on the things I love about my husband, I'll see that everywhere as well. I'll find the evidence. And Dave, what about you? What struck you the most during our interview today with the Savages?
Yeah, you know, really along those same lines, Liz, I love that humility. I honestly feel like humility is like this fountain, you know, trust and humility and compassion. I've done some research on humility, compassion, positivity, some of these virtues and values that are really fundamental for relationships, and can't echo that enough, that no matter where you are in your relationship, we're going to hit these rough patches, some more serious than others, but it starts with that. I think of that 80-20%, maybe it was Gottman's that talked about, there's going to be about 20% that's going to just bug you. It's going to drive you nuts. And whether, right, Mark, I think each of us, Mark, have these internal lists. I don't think you're alone, whether we write it down or whether it's in our minds about, man, I wish she or he would stop doing this. You know, this is just driving me nuts. Or I wish they were different or more involved in our kids' lives or whatever it is that we have this wish list. And I feel like if we would forget the person that we thought we married and get to work on the relationship with the person that we did marry and focus on that 80% that we really love, that we enjoy, and remind ourselves, rehearse that, right? The principle, we remember what we rehearse. We remember what we review. And if we're reviewing the negative and the mess and the yuckiness that we don't like, then that's what we will remember. But if we can flip the script that you talked about, refocus, change that heart, and search inward and turn outward is how I call it. So it's just been Mark and Jill. We can't thank you enough. Thank you so very much for coming up, for sharing your story, for being vulnerable, and then talking about principles, practices, and then the resources that you offer. We will put those on our show notes for sure and help spread the word. So thank you for coming on today.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for having
us. It's been a joy.
You guys are great. Well, that does it for now. For another episode of the Stronger Marriage Connection, my friends, thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
And remember, it's the small and simple positive changes that create a stronger marriage connection. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks for joining us today. Hey, do us a favor and take a few minutes to subscribe to our podcast and the Utah Marriage Commission YouTube channel, where you can watch this and every episode of the show. When you hit the like button and leave a comment, your feedback helps us improve the show. And don't forget to share this episode with a friend.
You can also follow and connect with us on Instagram at Stronger Marriage Life and on Facebook at Stronger Marriage. Be sure to share with us what topics you want us to explore or what you loved about today's episode. If you want even more resources to improve your relationship connection, visit our website at strongermarriage.org, where you'll find free workshops, webinars, relationship surveys, and more. Each episode of Stronger Marriage Connection is hosted and sponsored by the Utah Marriage Commission at Utah State University. And finally, a big thanks to our producers Rex Polanis and Alexis Alcott and the team at Utah State University. And you, our audience, you make this show possible.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
I'm Jeff Kaplan from KSL News Radio. You want to receive the latest news, traffic, and weather all in one place? All you have to do is subscribe to the KSL text line. Text the word NEWS to 57500 and you'll get the latest news, traffic, and weather updates. Sometimes before we get them on the air. I'll catch you on the radio weekday afternoons on KSL News Radio.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.